The Lord is good
all the time.
And all the time.
The Lord is good.
Good morning to you all and a very warm welcome to Newport-on-Tay Church of Scotland and to our service of public worship. A very warm welcome to all those who are worshiping with us this morning for the first time, or those who are doing so after a long time. Welcome also to our brothers and sisters who are on Zoom, and to those who will be listening to our church service afterwards from our website. Just a few intimations. The intimations are as printed out in the order of service in your hand, but just to remind the congregation that this evening at 6:30 we will have our evening service of Holy Communion, and all are welcome. Also, I can see many children in church this morning. It is officially the last Sunday of our youth worker, Chris Cameron, who has served faithfully with us in the children and youth ministry. So during the children's address, we will hear more about that. And just before that time comes, we do a doxology in the church, and we do that immediately after the hymn, after the sermon. So after the hymn, after the sermon, please, if you are able, remain standing for that. I will try to announce that again. Let us take a moment of silence and prepare ourselves for worship. Let us worship God. Our first hymn 127, O worship the King, all glorious above.
Thank you.
Let us pray. Eternal and covenant-keeping God, we gather before you as your people from the least to the greatest to hear again your word of life. You are the God who led Israel through the sea, who fed them with spiritual food, who gave them living water from the rock. You are the God who, through King Josiah, called your people back to the covenant, tearing down every idol and restoring true worship. We praise you that in Jesus Christ you have made with us a new covenant of grace. He is our rock, our temple, our living word. Through him you call us to live as your holy people, not in rivalry or pride, but in faith, love, and obedience. Come among us now by your Spirit, renew our hearts, and make us temples of your presence. Merciful God, we confess that we, like Israel of old, have too often forgotten the covenant. You call us to worship you alone, yet we cling to the idols of pride, rivalry, and self-interest. You call us to love one another, yet we have sown division, spoken words that wound, and allowed bitterness to poison our fellowship. Forgive us, Lord, like the people in Josiah's day. We have sometimes taken grace for granted, grumbled instead of trusted, and pursued our own desires more than your will. We have turned the temple of our hearts into a marketplace of self instead of a house of prayer. Have mercy on us, O God. Tear down the idols within us. Cleanse us from hidden faults. Renew your covenant in our lives, that with all our hearts and soul we may walk in your ways. Grant us the assurance of your word, that no temptation has overtaken us except what is common to all, and that you are faithful to provide a way out so that we may endure and overcome. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Redeemer, who taught us to pray always, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our next hymn, Blessed be the name of the Lord. The words are printed on the order of service.
Good morning. You're all coming down already. That's great. Is there any other children that would like to come to the front? Great. Well, welcome back. You've been really busy over the summer, and I just wanted to ask some of you, what has been your favorite part of summer? Have you done anything special? Have you gone anywhere? Yeah, where have you gone, Alex? Wow, so you went to St. Cyrus, yeah? And there was a Kaylee in the swimming pool. Wow, that's amazing. Was it easier or harder? Just really fun. Have you guys done anything special yet, Murdo? You went to Loch Lomond, and what did you do there? You were sharing rooms with your oldest cousins. You were the youngest. And were you getting led astray by these big rowdy ones? Sometimes you had to share beds. Okay. Has anyone got anything else they'd like to share? Okay, you could share some more.
If you went out my bedroom door, there was some stairs down to near the swimming pool in the house.
You had a swimming pool in the house? Wow, I think I'm going to come on holiday with you guys next time. So just while we're looking back, I was just hoping that we could think about some of the wonderful things that Chris has done with us, because we are celebrating Chris today because he's going off to start a new job. He's actually started already. But I wondered, do you guys have any special memories of Chris? Something that he's done? Yeah, what's your one, Lewis? Oh, great. Taking us to Bad Guys 2 in the cinema. Now, I was there. It was pretty funny, wasn't it? Yeah. And that was your first trip, wasn't it? With the Youth Seekers, you had a special allowance to come. Did you have anything, Jacob?
Everything.
Has there been one thing that Chris has done that's been pretty cool? Just everything. Oh, that's amazing. Well done, Chris. What about you guys? Have you been part of anything that Chris has done? Maybe a holiday club? Or, yeah? You went somewhere and stayed for 4 nights? And Chris took you? Yeah? Was there a really good activity there? Zipline. Cool. What about over here? This is a quiet wee corner over here. Is there anything special? Yeah, Ariel? Church camp? Was that the one where we all went away together? Or just the youth one? All the youth together, yeah. Where did you go? Maybe Lendrickmuir? Yeah. Cool. What about you, Grace? You got anything fun that you can remember? That's okay. So, I'm going to need some volunteers. Who is good at running? So, I've actually got a bit of congregation participation. So guys, come and collect some cards. I would like it if you could pass out these cards to the people in the congregation and the choir. And if there's a memory as well that of something that Chris has done, or that you've maybe heard about, you've maybe read it in the journal, or you've seen pictures, I just really want to collect all these memories for Chris, all these wonderful things he's done. So, there hopefully is pens in the pews, and if there's not, there's a few spare pens up here. You want to take a spare pen just in case somebody doesn't have them. Right, go and spread them out. And if you don't know Chris, well, he's been with us for 7 years, and he's been doing so many cool initiatives. I was trying to go through them, some in my brain, of what he's done so far. He's done holiday clubs, some with quite unusual names. Bubblegum and Fluff. Was there any other wacky name ones, Chris? Was that the only one? We've got, what was that? The Great Green Welly Garden Show. That was a tongue twister. And he's done Bible Alive. He's done our Youth Seekers, our Mana youth group on a Sunday night. So if you have any nice memories or something you've seen, please jot it down and we'll collect them after. Thank you so much. I'm just going to read a little verse from Jeremiah 29:11. So it says, "For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope." And I just wanted to speak a little bit about Chris going forward, because he is leaving us, and it's really sad because he's done amazing things. But we're really lucky because Chris is still going to be part of our community. He's going to be going into local schools, so quite a lot of you are actually still going to be able to see Chris. He's going to do really cool things, and he has a plan. Sometimes we don't understand why things happen, but God spoke to Chris, and he gave him this opportunity to go for a new job. But it's also a time for us to look at the new plans for our church, and we don't quite know what that's going to look like yet. So you'll have to bear with us. We're going to guddle through some lovely folk of the congregation. But I do believe that God has a plan for us here. I think he's going to do really good things. So I would quite like to ask Chris to come up, please. So, Chris, how are you?
I'm scared. No, I'm good.
How are you feeling?
I'm feeling okay. Feeling good. It's sad, obviously.
Yeah, it's a big day. Like I said, Chris has been with us for 7 years, and he has been, helping you guys grow in your faith. I'm going to pick out a few people in particular. Rachel and Stuart were in S1. Or P7? P7, when Chris started, and they've just finished S6 and going off to university. So Chris has been part of their whole Youth Seekers life, and that's been utterly amazing. It's been a real blessing for me to work with Chris over those whole 7 years, and I've seen you do a lot of good work. You've started some great initiatives. You've battled through some health issues.
Yep.
A pandemic.
I know, yeah.
And it's just been a real joy, Chris, and we are really going to miss having you here. But I really hope you'll still visit us.
Yeah.
Maybe we're roped in to volunteer.
We'll see.
And we just want to say thank you so much. I was going to read a little blessing. I got this book from the Robertsons, so thank you, Frank and Linda. That's coming really handy. I pray that Jesus, the light of the world, will bless you with the light of life, the light of love, the light of wisdom, the light of wonder, the light of joy, light without and light within. May God bless you with peace, peace in your heart and peace in your home, peace in yourself and peace for your loved ones, peace for today's decisions, peace for tomorrow's plans. May God's restoring, reassuring peace surround you always. So just as a wee token of thanks, we have a little gift. Would somebody like to come up and give it to Chris? Yeah, come on then. And can I also invite Katie to come forward? There you go, you just give it over.
Thank you so much.
And we just want to thank you, Katie, as well. I'll give her a clap. You've been part of this journey too. You've been such a big support to Chris and to our youth groups as well, and Messy Church and all the things you've been doing. And we really appreciate you as individuals and as a couple. So we just really want to bless you. And so we're going to pray. And I was going to invite all the children to come, and it's called laying hands. So if you come and put a hand onto Chris or Katie, this might be a bit odd, this is not something we've really done before. If you maybe sit down, okay?
I think
And maybe if our Sunday club teachers, youth seekers, anyone that's been involved, if you could come as well, just to pray over Chris and Katie. Absolutely, go for it. God, you're all coming out the woodwork now. That's amazing. If you can't reach them, touch a shoulder or something just to pass on the... Great. Thank you so much. Okay, let us pray. Father God, thank you so much for blessing us with Chris, for his determination and just will to share the word of God. Lord, he's done so many amazing things in this congregation with our young people and children and families. And Lord, as he ventures off into this new role, may he know you even deeper, share your word even further, and just bring all your blessings to everyone he sees. Lord, thank you so much for this community he has built up and created. And may we all just cherish in the memories that we've made with him. Amen. 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 Thank you. Would you like to add anything, Amos?
The Lord is good.
All the time.
And all the time.
The Lord is good.
Dear brother Chris and dear sister Kate, I think Catherine has summarized our thoughts in this children's address and in the presentations they have made to both of you. We arrived here almost the same time, and I'm glad that I was already in the post when we got you in as our youth worker. We have worked together for 7 years. You've done so much for this community and for this church. And I'm sure that your legacy will remain even as you leave us to another role. We are praying for you and we are hoping that you will find fulfillment in your next assignment and in the next season of your career. We are grateful to Kate, who has been a very faithful and supportive companion. And we pray that God will bless both of you, bless your home, bless the work of your hands, and establish you. You told me that you will still be around, so we will see you again and again. So on behalf of our dear congregation and all the good people of Newport-on-Tay Church of Scotland, thank you very much, and God bless you. We will sing one of Chris's favorite songs, In Christ Alone, My Hope Is Found.
Thank you. Our first reading this morning is from the second book of Kings, chapter 23, verses 1 to 4. It can be found on the page 395 of the Pew Bibles. This passage is entitled, Josiah Renews the Covenant. Then the king called together all the elders of Judah and Jerusalem. He went up to the temple of the Lord with the people of Judah, the inhabitants of Jerusalem, the priests and the prophets, all the people from the least to the greatest. He read in their hearing all the words of the book of the covenant, which had been found in the temple of the Lord. The king stood by the pillar and renewed the covenant in the presence of the Lord, to follow the Lord and keep his commands, statutes and decrees with all his heart and all his soul, thus confirming the words of the covenant written in this book. Then all the people pledged themselves to the covenant. The king ordered Hilkiah, the high priest, the priests next in rank, and the doorkeepers to remove from the temple of the Lord all the articles made for Baal and Asherah and all the starry hosts. He burned them outside Jerusalem and the fields of the Kidron Valley and took the ashes to Bethel. Our next reading is taken from the Gospel of John, chapter 2, verses 13 to 22, and can be found on page 1065 of the Pew Bibles. This passage is entitled, Jesus Clears the Temple Courts. When it was almost time for the Jewish Passover, Jesus went up to Jerusalem. In the temple courts, he found people selling cattle, sheep, and doves, and others sitting at tables exchanging money. So he made a whip out of cords, and he drove out all from the temple courts, both sheep and cattle. He scattered the coins of the money changers and overturned their tables. To those who sold doves, he said, "Get these out of here. You're turning my father's house into a market." His disciples remembered that it is written, "Zeal for your house will consume me." The Jews then responded to him, "What sign can you show us to prove your authority to do all this?" Jesus answered them, "Destroy this temple, and I will raise it again in 3 days." They replied, "It has taken 46 years to build this temple, and you are going to raise it in 3 days?" But the temple he had spoken of was his body. After he was raised from the dead, his disciples recalled what he had said. Then they believed the scripture and the words that Jesus had spoken. Thanks be to God for these readings from his holy word. We continue with the next hymn, is Lord, the light of your love is shining.
Jesus, love.
Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable to you, O God, our strength and our salvation. Amen. My theme for this morning's reflection is when the sacred becomes a marketplace. When the sacred becomes a marketplace. And brothers and sisters, let me begin with something a bit light-hearted. You know you are in Scotland when someone says to you, the church has closed, but don't worry, it's reopened as a pub, and at least it is finally full on Sundays again. Or perhaps you have heard of the old kirk that became a climbing wall, and someone remarked, well, it is the first time Presbyterians have raised their hands in worship for quite a long time. We laugh, but beneath the humor is a sobering reality. Across Scotland, England, and much of Europe, church buildings, once alive with prayer and psalms, are now cinemas, gyms, restaurants, mosques, and flats. In the United States of America, vast cathedrals of evangelical enthusiasm have been sold off as congregations shrink. Meanwhile, in Africa, Asia, and Latin America, the reverse is happening. Cinema halls, warehouses, and car parks are being converted into churches because people cannot find enough space to worship. The irony is not lost on us. Where the faith once set its roots deep, the sacred spaces are emptying. Where the faith is young and alive, any space, no matter how ordinary, is being sanctified. And into this contrast comes our gospel reading from John 2, where Jesus enters the temple and finds it transformed into a marketplace. The place meant for prayer had become a place for profit. The holy had been drowned out by the hum of trade. And Jesus, gentle, patient Jesus, does something that shocks us still. He makes a whip of cords, overturns the tables, and drives them out. He cries, "Stop turning my Father's house into a marketplace." The issue here is not commerce itself. After all, the pilgrims needed animals for sacrifice and coins for offerings. The issue is that the very heart of worship had been displaced. God's house had been emptied of its true purpose and filled with something lesser. Now, one thinker who has helped me understand this development is the philosopher Søren Kierkegaard. This is what he wrote. The human race, in the course of time, has taken the liberty of softening and softening Christianity, and until at last we have taken away everything which is truly Christian. His words echo here. What Jesus confronted was not simply bad practice, but the danger of religion emptied of reverence of the holy, displaced by the convenient. And so the question arises, what are we doing with the things meant to be holy? In Britain today, some of our grandest cathedrals and kirk buildings stand more as museums than living churches. Tourists wander through, cameras in hand, while the sound of prayer is faint. In America, the church is often treated as a consumer choice. Entertainment on Sunday, no different from a cinema ticket. In mainland Europe, secularization is so advanced that churches close weekly. And yet in Lagos, Nairobi, Sao Paulo, and Seoul, you will find thousands gathering in converted cinemas, warehouses, even under motorways, because the hunger for God is greater than the need for comfort. So what is the problem John 2 reveals? At its core, it is the problem of misdirected purpose. The temple was not destroyed, it was still standing, but it had lost its meaning. And what happens when our sacred spaces, whether buildings or our very bodies as temples of the Holy Spirit, are emptied of its purpose? They are always filled with something else. If not worship, then commerce. If not God's glory, then our own convenience. Our Lord Jesus Christ responds not with resignation, but with passion. His zeal for God's house consumes him. And when challenged, he does something remarkable. He shifts the conversation away from the building entirely. Destroy this temple, and I will raise it again in 3 days. He was speaking, John tells us, about his own body. Friends, here is the radical heart of the gospel. Sacredness is not finally about architecture, it is about Christ himself. The true temple is not stone, but flesh. Not ashes and pews, but a body broken and raised. Not simply bricks consecrated, but a people redeemed. And that truth is both sobering and liberating. Sobering because it tells us that beautiful buildings, if emptied of Christ, become hollow shells. Liberating because it reminds us that wherever two or three are gathered in his name, whether in a cathedral or a cinema, Christ is there. But let us not too quickly excuse ourselves, for there is a warning here. The danger in Scotland and across secular Britain is not simply that churches become cinemas, it is that Christians become consumers, that worship is reduced to entertainment, that prayer is crowded out by politics, gossip, or personal agendas, that our faith becomes one more product in the marketplace of life. That is why Jesus' anger in the temple still matters. He is not only cleansing a building, he is cleansing a people. He is reclaiming space for God's glory. He is calling us back to the heart of worship. And so what does this mean for us here in Newport on Tay? It means asking ourselves, what fills our temple, our church, our hearts? Are we filled with prayer, with love for God and neighbor, or have we let the noise of culture, the clutter of division, the pursuit of comfort take up residence where God alone should dwell? In a nation where faith is fading, the challenge for us is not simply to keep the doors open, but to keep the flame alive. The Church of Christ is not preserved by architecture, but by authenticity. It is not kept alive by heritage, but by holiness. We will not reclaim our witness by nostalgia, but by a fresh zeal for God's presence among us. The world is watching. When they see churches turned into pubs, they chuckle. But when they see Christians living as temples of the living God, rooted in prayer, overflowing in love, radiant with hope, then they are drawn not to architecture, but to Christ himself. Karl Barth, the great Swiss theologian, once wrote, "The church exists to set up in the world a new sign, which is radically dissimilar to the world's own manner, and which contradicts it in a way which is full of promise." Friends, that is our calling. Not simply to keep buildings from being sold, but to live in such a way that even if the building is gone, the witness remains. And perhaps here lies the irony that should give us hope. In Africa and Asia, cinemas are becoming churches. In Europe, churches are becoming cinemas. But in both, the question is the same. What is the true temple? And the answer remains Christ, his body, his people, his resurrection life. So today, may we hear the zeal of Christ for his Father's house echo in our hearts. May we clear out whatever clutters our worship. May we reorder our priorities so that Christ is not an add-on, but the treasure. May our kirk here in Newport on Tay be more than a building. Let it be a living temple where the Spirit dwells, where prayer rises, and where hope is born again. And may it be said of us what the disciples remembered of him: zeal for your house will consume me. Let us pray. Jesus Christ, you cleansed the temple and reclaimed it for your Father's glory. Cleanse us also that our lives may be houses of prayer, our words songs of praise, our deeds offerings of love. Forgive us when we have turned worship into convenience, when we have allowed division or destruction to crowd your presence out. Restore in us the joy of holiness, the passion of true worship, and the courage to live as your temple in this world. Make your church in this land a living witness once again, not just in buildings preserved, but in lives transformed. And as you promised, Lord, raise us up so that the world may see your glory and know that you are the true temple, the cornerstone, the risen Lord. Amen. Our next theme is when we walk with the Lord in the light of his word. The words are printed on the order of service. And please, if you are able after this hymn, keep standing, remain standing for the doxology.
Lord, in the light of his word, what a glory he sheds on earth.
Please be seated. Let us dedicate the offering. Let us pray. Faithful God, all that we have comes from your hand. Our time, our talents, our treasure, and even the very breath we breathe. As King Josiah and the people once pledged themselves to renew the covenant with all their heart and soul, so we now dedicate these gifts to you. Take what we bring, O Lord, and use it for the building of your kingdom, for the strengthening of your church, and for the blessing of those in need. Keep us from the idols of greed and self-interest, and remind us that true worship is not in what we keep, but in what we give for the sake of Christ. Receive these offerings and receive us as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing in your sight. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, the rock of our salvation and the true temple of God's presence, we pray. Amen. Let us intercede. Let us pray. And there is a responsory, Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Lord Jesus Christ, with zeal for your Father's house, you cleansed the temple and reclaimed it for God's glory. Today we come before you in prayer for the world you love, the church you redeemed, and the lives you call to holiness. We pray for the church. Faithful God, you have made us living temples of your Spirit. We pray for your church here in Newport on Tay, across Scotland and throughout the world. Forgive us where we have allowed worship to become convenience or faith to become a marketplace transaction. Cleanse us from rivalry, distraction, and indifference, and restore in us a zeal for prayer, holiness, and mission. Strengthen your church in places where congregations are shrinking, and bless those lands where the gospel is flourishing in homes, halls, and cinemas turned into sanctuary. Gracious God, we thank you for the life and ministry of Chris Cameron, our dear brother, for the dedication, creativity, and love he has poured into the youth and children of our church here in Newport on Tay, and for the faithful support of his wife, Kate. We rejoice that you have opened a new door for him, where his gifts will continue to shape and empower the young people of our time. As they step into this new season, go before them. Surround them with your presence and bless the work of their hands. And Lord, as we feel the gap his departure has left among us, grant us patience, wisdom, and guidance to find in good time a new worker who will carry forward this vital ministry with the same spirit of faithfulness and zeal. Lord, in your mercy, we pray for the world. God of all nations, we lift before you a world searching for meaning. We pray for those in leadership in this country and beyond, that integrity and justice may shape their decisions. We remember those who live where there is war, corruption, or oppression. May your peace drive out violence, and your light scatter the darkness. Where the sacred has been drowned out by greed, renew a passion for truth and justice. And where people long for hope, raise up witnesses who will point to Christ, the true temple of God's presence. Lord, in your mercy, we pray for those who suffer. Compassionate Christ, you know the burdens we carry. We pray for those in our community who are ill in body, mind, or spirit. For those weighed down by anxiety, loneliness, or grief. For those whose homes feel empty or whose hearts feel heavy. May your healing spirit bring peace, strength, and comfort. In silence, we name those we know and love who need your touch this day. Lord, in your mercy, we pray for ourselves. Living Lord, you remind us that sacredness is not finally about buildings, but about lives redeemed. Cleanse the clutter from our hearts so that our words may be prayer, our actions worship, and our lives a witness to your glory. Make us temples where hope is born again, where love is practiced daily, and where Christ is at the center. May zeal for your house consume us, not only in this kirk, but in every part of our living. Lord, in your mercy, into your hands, Lord, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting not in our strength, but in the power of Christ, the true temple, risen and reigning forever. Amen. Our final hymn is Guide Me, O Thou Great Jehovah. It's hymn number 167.
peace and serve the Lord. The Lord bless you and watch over you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May God, who knows the thoughts and the desires of every heart, guide and strengthen and fill you with all spiritual blessings and grace, that you may daily rejoice and be ready to give an account of your faith in the world.